A city is stronger together. So let's hear from the business and community leaders that keep Milwaukee on the upswing. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now here's the host that's always on the upswing, WTMJ's Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Welcome to the upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. As always, a big thank you to our good partners at Horicon Bank. Belief is really highly personal, right? But belonging, and that's what this show is all about, belonging and community. Belonging matters to all of us. So we're still in the holiday season, getting through these final weeks, final week of 2025. However you say happy holidays, I want to remind you to say it with intention and good cheer, good friends, and good family. The season reminds us that through all of our differences, community begins when we choose to listen. So today we're going to showcase our conversation from last week with a priest, a rabbi, and a university president. Yes, a priest, a rabbi, and a university president walk into a downtown radio studio during the holiday season to talk about faith, to talk about community, to talk about what brings us together in a world that is often too divided. Joining me on the show, Dr. Kimo Ayun, who's the president of Marquette University, Father Joe Simmons, Jesuit priest and assistant professor of theology at Marquette, and Rabbi Levi Stein, who is the president and CEO of the Friendship Circle in Fox Point. A great discussion. You'll enjoy it. We had a wonderful time. As we do, though, at the beginning of each and every show, we're going to go two up.
Now it's time for the
two, count 'em, two.
Two up on the upswing.
Two up, two things in the business world, in the community world, around the great state of Wisconsin that I'm seeing that you need to know about right now. Rumpus Room 2.0. Remember the Rumpus Room? 5 years ago, the Bartolotta Restaurant Group closed the Rumpus Room on Water Street, right at 1030 North Water Street, steps away from the Marcus Performing Arts Center, near the soon-to-be-remodeled Red Arrow Park, and close to many hotels, really close to the Deer District, right in a very vibrant part of downtown Milwaukee. Restaurant Group decided to close the location, but according to reporting, the Milwaukee Business Journal, and to a permit that we saw at the city of Milwaukee, there's now a new occupancy permit that shows plans for a new restaurant 7 days a week at this space. According to Milwaukee Business Journal, representatives from the Bartolotta Restaurant Group declined to give all the details, but they did say they pulled occupancy permits to reconceptualize the venue for a new restaurant. This is really, really good news, because it's often, as we can, we see places close, places reopen, and think, oh my gosh, what's happening on the local restaurant scene? Here's a space that's been closed for 5 years. It closed during the 2020 COVID-19 pandemic. But now the same restaurant group is going back to that space and saying, all right, how can we reinvent it and reconceptualize this space for a downtown area that continues to evolve? Keep an eye on this in 2026. It's really exciting to see Bartolotta Restaurant Groups come back downtown and open up a space that this was a great, great gathering spot back in the day. So I'm excited to see what they're going to brew up there. Next up, you've probably done a bunch of your shopping, but maybe you're doing Christmas and Hanukkah next week. The thrift is indeed the gift. Some of Santa's best gifts this year have been given before. I pulled some data, and I saw some reporting in the Wall Street Journal recently. 82% of shoppers who were surveyed, 1,800 U.S. shoppers were surveyed by eBay. 82% of them said they purchased secondhand gifts this year. Likewise, nearly half of these 8,200 American consumers said that they wanted to save money during this holiday season. So thrifting, big, big upswing this year during the holidays. Why? Well, you got inflation, you got financial pressures, but you're also seeing a big, big shift in ThredUp, Savers Value Village, and other thrift retailers across the country that are reimagining what their spaces can be to go after not only their traditional consumer, but maybe a little bit more upscale consumer as well. So it's something to keep an eye on, again, all through next year. But thrifting is big business during the holiday season, and I'm guessing it's going to continue through 2026. Coming up next, a priest, a rabbi, and a university president walk into our radio studio.
A priest and a rabbi walk into a bar. No, wait. A priest and a rabbi walk into the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee for a special holiday tradition on The Upswing.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, a priest, a rabbi, and a university president walk into a radio studio. That is today's show. It is festive. It is wonderful. I want to start, Dr. Ayoun, with each one of you, but I want to go back to a little bit of an origin story. You're a regular guest on the show, and I always appreciate you taking the time out of your day, Dr. Ayoun. But when you look at from a university president perspective with faith, you got to have faith in students. You have to have faith in progress. And especially now with higher education, so many shifting dynamics and shifting demographics. How does your background, Kimo, and your influence and faith and leadership really support what you do each and every day?
Yeah, it influences a lot. Being raised in the Catholic Church, but also having parents who instilled values. I think about three things, integrity, generosity, and gratitude. And so as I think about all we do at our campus, if I'm able to make decisions and able to help our students with those founding pillars, then I think I'm in a good place.
Yeah. Father Joe, you grew up in Wisconsin here, right?
I did, yes.
Mm-hmm. When did you know that you had that calling to the priesthood? And then, once we discuss that, how do you balance your day-to-day as a priest and as a teacher? I need some tips.
I don't know how many tips I would have. I was never planning on being a priest. I thought, well, that's kind of something strange that people who don't want a family have. But I've always been attracted to family. I come from a good family. But I think both my time at Marquette High School and then later as a student at Marquette U from 2000 to 2004, I had some great Jesuits in the classroom who were able to balance that life of kind of a learned teaching with care for the soul. And I always thought, I often say, I like that the Jesuits didn't seem to take themselves too seriously, but they took God and their students very seriously. And so I feel like the hooks have been in deep for a long time.
Yeah.
And so I just feel like to those who much has been given, much is expected. And so I'm happy to be kind of a Jesuit in the classroom for today's students and wrestling with a new situation, new challenges that they face, but wanting to accompany them along the way.
Yeah. Rabbi Levi, the friendship circle does such meaningful work in our community. Tell us a little bit about it, and what's your personal journey that led you there?
Sure. The Friendship Circle has been a part of me since I was just a kid. It was originally founded in Detroit, Michigan, which is where I'm from. And in 1999, when I was just becoming a teenager, I didn't have many friends. And when I got paired with a kid with disabilities to become my special friend through the Friendship Circle, it gave me that friend that I was really searching for. He didn't care about my academics. He didn't care about my fashion. He didn't care about anything. He cared just that I was showing up there and I was there to, you know, do pottery with him or play a game with him. And I'll never forget the day that I brought him to my high school. And he was talking about me as if I was God's gift to society. And it really brought perspective to the people around me that weren't as kind, so to say. And to give that opportunity to others was always a dream of mine since then as a kid. And, you know, being able to move here to Milwaukee to run the Friendship Circle here now almost 10 years ago has been really a dream come true.
Give us a little background on the hours and the location, too, because it's a festive time of the year and people may need some last minute holiday items for the table.
So a little more background is the Friendship Circle does programming for people with disabilities and people struggling with mental health. One of the key programs that people know us about is our employment training program, which is housed in our cafe, bakery, and art studio in Fox Point, which is open Sunday through Friday. Regular days, 7:30 in the morning to 4:30 p.m., and it operates as a regular coffee shop. It just trains and employs people with disabilities at the same time.
Okay. All right. So a question for all three of you. You know, when faith becomes community, I want to know what changes and what you see through that change at Marquette and the Friendship Circle. Dr. Ayun?
Yeah. I think what changes is just how people see the world, how they begin interacting with one another. And I see that played out on our campus all of the time. You know, our goal as a Catholic Jesuit institution is to transform the lives of our students, to build men and women for and with others. And I see them, when they get into community, figuring out how to help one another and how to make the world a better place.
I mean, what's that common thread? I guess, you know, we said it in the intro of the show, and hey, if we have a priest, a rabbi, and a university president, and we walk into a bar. What's the subtitle of that book that ties it all together? Father Joe?
We're going to solve all the world's problems today.
Right here. Let's go.
I don't know.
Let's do it.
That's tough. I think we're all interested in helping young people and people of faith or no faith find meaning and articulate what it is that that's their guiding star, what drives them, what are their maps that help them navigate difficulties and complexities. And I mean, obviously, you just look around, it's a complex world. And I think perspectives of faith kind of help people wrestle with what's difficult and what's joyful to give hope in the face of difficulty.
Yeah. Rabbi?
Yeah, I don't know that I have a subtitle right now, but I'm excited to look for one. But I think focusing on what we have in common is something we all need to strive to do more of, because most of what we do is in common. And let's really focus on that.
Yeah. This is The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Rabbi, a priest, and a university president walk into a radio studio. When we come back, we're going to share about traditions, reflections, and look deeper into meaning. We were keeping the faith. Yeah. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Rabbi Levi Stein, I appreciate you being here. Dr. Kimo Ayun, Father Joe Simmons. Levi, you were on Marquette's campus this week, a couple days ago. Tell us what you were doing on campus.
It was actually just about an hour ago.
Okay, all right.
And I had a meeting with the Marquette Police Chief to talk about the way they respond to a mental health crisis situation, which unfortunately is happening more and more. I met the Marquette Police Department through a CIT training through NAMI, which I'm on the board of directors of NAMI, so I'm one of the instructors of CIT. And we developed a safety plan template to give out to law enforcement and to behavioral health professionals, that if they are with someone in crisis, that they could create a safety plan right then and there. Not always are people willing to go to a treatment center. And if law enforcement doesn't have enough data or something in front of them to be able to take them, they have to do something, and they don't know always how to do that.
Yeah.
This is like a good tool to really help that gray area. So we met, and we will hopefully put that out to every squad car, that they have that template and they can pull out when they're in crisis. And it was a real honor to do that.
Dr. Ayun, talk about the collaborations on campus with not only campus police, but all the organizations.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I appreciate, we have collaborations like this, and we're grateful to have our own police department. And we think about policing using Cura Personalis, care for the whole person. And as our police officers engage community members or working with our students, they have to have the best tools available to them. They have to understand about what these individuals might be going through and what's the best way to get them in the place that they need them to be able to help them. All of our partnerships, that's what we're looking towards doing, is how do we care for people? How do we love them?
Right. And often there isn't that single playbook, but being able to tap into different communities and different resources provides the different playbooks and the talking points and things that really bring us all together. All right. I want to talk about kind of the stretch of the year we're in right now. Christmas, Hanukkah, both full of light, both full of meaning. We'll talk about how we all celebrate personally a little bit. But first, Father Joe, what's at the heart of Christmas for you personally, and what messages do you hope people hear kind of beyond the shopping and the spectacle of it all?
Yeah, well, I think it's it falls at just the right time of year here in the Northern Hemisphere when it's dark and cold, and you have every reason to be despairing or frustrated or grumpy, and just says that there is hope and there is light and there is new life that comes at Christmas, and there's such a deep resonance with so much of the Jewish tradition, too. I mean, these O antiphons that begin on the 17th and go till right before Christmas, these are naming how Jesus is drawn from the Jewish tradition. You have, you know, the root of Jesse, the key of David, mm-hmm. that this is the longed for Messiah that people have been longing for. So I think it's a message of hope and life. And I know it just can be very difficult because there's so much that does drown out sort of that message of hope. And so it's a challenge of keeping that in tension with all the planning you need to do for food and gathering and gift exchanges. But I think keeping that hope and light and life alive in this time of year is very helpful.
Yeah. Rabbi Levi, what's the essence of Hanukkah and what do you think resonates today?
I think when you look back at what is Hanukkah, and there's really two major miracles. There was the miracle of the survival of the Jewish people. Then there was the miracle of the oil. But if you think about it, what's a bigger miracle? Isn't the survival of the Jewish people bigger than the fact that oil lasted, 8 days? Mm-hmm. But what can we learn out of this holiday? And the concept of adding more light is just a concept that resonates with all faiths. Adding more light into a world, especially when at times it seems very dark, is a message that we can all really align with and do more of.
Yeah. Dr. Kimo, how does Marquette as a campus community embrace the diversity of celebrations? And how do you balance respect for all the traditions, knowing that, I mean, you have thousands of kids on campus that are all from different faiths?
Yeah, I mean, people have their own faith traditions, and we embrace all of them. We're open to helping to meet people where they're at. And I would say it's one of the kind of fundamental Jesuit principles is finding God in all things. And what we say is through all of these traditions, we find God in all of those things. And if those things help us to move closer to God and become better individuals and go out and serve others, then we're moving in the right direction.
Yeah. Let me ask you, Rabbi, what's one thing that a person of maybe no faith background can learn from Hanukkah?
I mean, exactly what I just said. Hanukkah is the most beautiful holiday that anyone can relate to. Talking about adding more light. So on the first night of Hanukkah, we light one candle. But the second night, one candle's not enough. We got to do more because what was enough yesterday is not enough today. And that's, again, a message and a concept that all of us need to do. We need to do more. If we're not going forward, we're moving backward.
Very good. All right. I want to, if you're up for it, it's a big weekend, the next couple weekends in the sports world. And you see often celebrations around faith, prayer, wherever we are. Youth sports, professional sports, but I want to see when we come back from the break how really God cares about our sports teams and what that thought process is. You guys are going to have great comments on this, I know. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ.
Okay, we are going to stomp these losers right into the ground. Let us pray. Lord, please help us stomp these losers into the ground. Amen.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Milwaukee's a sports town. I want to settle this right now. I mean, the big question is, does God care about who wins a football game or a basketball game? Let's say Marquette versus Wisconsin or Packers-Bears. How should we personally bring faith into moments of competition loss or even fandom? Father Joe, can I ask you this to begin?
Sure. You can't see it. I'm wearing red, but that has nothing to do with the Badgers. I think, my thoughts on sports have matured as I've gotten older. I think it's a great way to help teach people rules of fairness and how to like lose gracefully and have hope in the future, which is important for us at Marquette now, to be able to kind of say, okay, well, that we're early in the season, we can come back. So it's about resilience, I think, and playing fairly and realizing that the point of the game is to have fun, to get better than you were playing yesterday, and hopefully inspire people too. And it's helpful in the middle of winter to be able to go to a Marquette game.
Right. But as fans are calling for a greater good to score the winning point or make the winning three-pointer, Rabbi, what should we as fans, what should we look to for our faith when we really want our team to win, but it just doesn't happen.
I'm from Detroit.
And okay, all right. Milwaukee. We're going to get hyper-personal. I like it. Let's go.
And I know this weekend they say, you know, if the Packers win and the Lions lose, you know, that helps Milwaukee.
Yes.
But for me, it's a win-win, right? But I think the lesson that I like to learn from sports is, and this is something that the Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who would always talk about sports, would be, do you want to be a fan or do you want to be a player, right? A fan, if the team is losing, they could just leave. But the players, they got to stay till the end. And that's what I like to learn from this is we got to stay in it till the end. And if you have a bad season or if you have a bad game, don't give up. Keep going. And yeah. Life can seem tough sometimes, but we're going to go until the end.
Yeah. Dr. Ayoun, as a father and university president, how do you bring faith into your sports moments?
Yeah, it's about how we treat each other with respect, and how we're there to support one another. You think about teams that, you know, you lose or you're going through a tough streak. It's easy for fans to, I think, turn quickly against that team. But it's about, I think, teaching my children and having conversations about, like, what kind of person do you want to be? Like, who do you want to – how are you represented when you're out there? And I think that's the – it's a true test, yeah. When, you know, especially when your team wins. How do you treat the team that lost? And right. If you treat them right, then you're doing the right things.
Yeah. How do you treat the referees? How do you treat the other head coach? I mean, last night at my son's basketball game, the junior Greyhounds were all there. The fifth graders were cheering on the high school kids. And afterwards, they all gathered for a team picture. And some of the third graders – went up to the high school kids and asked for autographs. Mm-hmm. And one of the seniors on the team said it was the best moment of his life. And it was like that type of thing. That's what sports and faith is all about, bringing kids together to know that there's a greater good to what they're doing. It's not just about wins and losses.
Can I just say what President Ayoun was saying? When I was growing up, my dad, he was a great basketball player in high school and he played for fun in college. And I was never good at basketball, but he coached me and he coached each of my three younger siblings, and some of them were much better than I was. But just to see that kind of love and attention, like even though, okay, first son, maybe not the best basketball player, but he was committed to us, win or loss and rain or shine. And I just remember that and gratitude for that. And I think that's what being a good fan is too.
Yeah. All right. I want to go maybe a little deeper note here. You know, the world's been through some painful stories recently, including some tragedies around the Jewish community and violence abroad. How do we best counsel our students, our congregants, and our families through the questions of just why do bad things happen? And where is God in all this suffering? Rabbi Levi?
Well, first of all, this past Sunday was it where a first cousin of mine actually was one of the people that was shot in Australia. And when I heard, and he's okay, thank God, but he was shot in the arm. He's a 12-year-old boy. And when I saw the news at first, I didn't think, you know, it's Australia. It seems far away. And I only have like one family member there. And they have, you know, one kid that was at that event and that kid was shot. And I knew other people that were shot and killed that day. So it really resonated really close to home. But think of an operating room where a doctor is doing heart surgery, and let's say an alien comes in and lands. The first place they see in this world is the operating room. What do you think they're going to shout out when they see the surgeon cutting the person open? They're going to scream, "Murderer! Like, what are you doing? Why are you opening up this person and you're killing him?" But obviously there's a bigger picture here, right? A bigger picture that we don't understand, and we don't understand God's ways always. And it's our job to question and to ask, but still have faith and know that there is a greater plan beyond what we can see in our limited scope.
Yeah. I mean, for young people and for students, you want meaning and you want to find a way through uncertainty, and there's anxiety, Dr. Ayoun. How do you counsel students on kind of the world affairs where it feels like, gosh, I don't know what to do, but I want to do something.
Yeah, I like how Rabbi Levi kind of frames this, is there's something larger out there. We don't always understand the larger plan. But I think when we think about students, it's about How do we console them? How do we be present with them? How do we get them to channel their energies to do, you know, positive things? Because there's a lot of needs in this world. And if we are spending our time going and addressing some of those immediate needs in our community, we can make the world a better place. Mm-hmm. And I think in doing that work, that's one of the things that reminds us about the humanity that's within us, but the humanity that exists in all of our communities.
Yeah. Father Joe, if you had the homily this weekend, what are your thoughts around global implications?
Yeah, I mean, I would be reluctant to give immediate pat answers, but I mean, to what both the rabbi and President Ayun said, I think to get people comfortable with the questions that don't have easy answers, and that pain and suffering don't have to be like the end of faith, but can be the beginning of saying, like, well, what is this thing? What is this thing we call life? How do we deal with the reality of human suffering and people doing terrible things to each other? And I see it all the time with freshmen that we teach, first-year students, wrestling with a lot of unsettling things throughout the course, even this past semester, and just saying, like, whatever your ultimate concern is, whatever guides your life, has to be able to make account for how humans can do great things and how humans can do terrible things. And I think that's what paths of faith do. They kind of give us ways of dealing with without either just like sugarcoating, oh, everything's great all the time. Clearly not.
Yeah.
Nor is it grounds for total despair all the time. You know, if you're looking for the evil, looking for what's negative, you'll find it. But if you begin with that posture of what is good in the world, where is there a sign of hope, I think that we can bring that energy then to the more difficult moments and questions.
In the Christmas Hanukkah season we're in, what do you think are kind of the most misunderstood elements of faith? Well, that's a big question, but Rabbi Levi, what do you think is the most misunderstood element, the biggest question that you get?
That's a big question. There's so much that's misunderstood, and I think what helps that is conversation. And being kind, right? When you have a conversation, all those... just yesterday, I was talking to one of our staff at Friendship Circle, and she was telling me I was the first Jew she ever met. And, you know, she's from Wausau, Wisconsin, never met someone. And there's all kinds of myths out there. And when you just ask a question and talk, all of that goes away.
Yeah, yeah. Conversations have big impact, and curiosity, I think, has to strike on the right level for all of us. In terms of, I always like to thank Father Joe, in terms of rules that maybe our faith practice brings to us, especially at this time of the year, what if we don't follow those rules? What happens?
I mean, I don't know. It's sort of like, think about like a diet you're on around Christmas time. Like, well, you can eat sweets all the time, but you're going to get a stomachache. And I don't think the church or any tradition is saying like rules for rules' sake, but to say these are some guidelines that have been tested literally over thousands of years that kind of make life a little bit easier. So like, you know, encouraging people to love even those who might scorn you or hate you, like that's not easy to do, but it might actually make for a better life for you in the long term. I think any number of traditions and habits of bringing people together, you know, around Christmas that might not otherwise happen when people are scattered all over the country. But to say, no, these holidays, these holy days are important because they bring people together for meaningful things. I think that's sort of what the rules, whether it can be helpful, you know, guidelines for living a life.
Yeah. Structure and discipline and coexistence, right? That's a good thing. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, a priest, a rabbi, and a university president. Walk into a festive radio studio during this festive time of the year. Dr. Kimo Ayun, I always appreciate your time, especially now. Finals just over on campus. How'd finals go from your lens? Anything you want to highlight there?
Yeah, you know, one of the things I like talking to the students and hearing about their experience, especially the students who just finished their first semester of college, I would say is another very successful year. Students were, you know, obviously happy to be going through the end of their first semester, happy to be going home to their families and spend Christmas with them. So I would say it's that. But you know, the other thing we're thinking about, this is actually now the point where we're building our next class. So we're starting already to get deposits. 28 students deposited to come to Marquette in the fall just yesterday. It was our first open day.
Okay.
So not only are we excited about our students who just finished, but we're already excited about the students who are already starting to sign up to be future Marquette students.
Yeah. That's great. That's great. All right. Well, I have a bunch of kind of rapid fire holiday questions for all of us as we kind of end this final segment here. But favorite holiday Christmas tradition, Father Joe?
I think it's on my dad's side. My grandparents, I guess, used to, they'd read from the Gospel of Luke. The youngest literate child would read the night before Christmas. Okay. And then we'd light candles for those who had died before us and those who can't be with us. And my dad's family kind of continues that. So I really appreciate that tradition more so as I get older, I think.
Rabbi?
I think there's a very Jewish thing to say, but the food, right? The latkes, traditional potato pancakes, so to say, frying in oil. Eating unhealthy on Hanukkah does not count, right?
Okay, that's good. That's good.
So that's a really fun tradition.
Chemo?
Yeah, my family, we do fondue on Christmas.
Oh, nice.
And so the kids are already excited to have fondue in a handful of days.
All right, very good. Best gift you've ever received? I always find that the best gift you received are ones maybe that you don't expect. Father Joe?
When I was about 5 years old, my grandpa gave me a little fire truck ride that had like a steering wheel and everything that he built himself. And he gave it to me. About, I had to pull a string from behind the Christmas tree and it came out. And I was about as excited as I could possibly be.
All right. Levi? So
on Hanukkah, the tradition actually is not gifts. It's Hanukkah gelt, which is traditionally giving money or coins, often chocolate coins if it's for kids.
Okay.
But can I say my favorite gift was a child? I had a child born on Hanukkah.
Of course, of course.
She's now 7 years old.
All right. Very good.
What's her name?
Name's Rosie.
Nice. Very good. That's great. Chemo?
When I was in graduate school, I didn't have a lot of money. I was living in Manhattan, Kansas, and I was gifted a trip back home. So I was able to be back with my family for a Christmas holiday, which just tremendous gift.
Very good. I appreciate it. I have a lot of friends that work at Marquette University, and they all appreciate the gift of time during this time, to have time off with friends and family. So I think that's always a wonderful gift, too, no matter where we work and put our effort into.
Well, and the best part about the gift of time is the university closes down. So it truly is the only time where no one is sending emails and you're not expected to write anything. I mean, it's a true gift because it's a true university closure.
Yes. All right.
I think in my first year, I thought something was wrong with the internet server because I'm like, I'm reloading. I'm getting no emails.
I'm going to send you an email next week. All right. Let's talk about the best gift you've ever received, Dr. Ayoun.
I think it's with it was a trip experience that we gave to our kids to be able to take them to Europe for the first time.
Very good.
Just was big for them to be able to get outside of the country and experience something beyond the United States.
Very good. Levi?
So the best gift I've ever given? Or best
correct.
Gift we
best
ever
gift
received.
You've ever given.
I would say the gift of nothing. I gave my wife 24 hours where she doesn't have to do anything. No kid, no wake up, like go to a hotel for 24 hours, food, stay, and that's it.
Note to self, take Levi's advice. Okay. Yes, very good. Father Joe?
I have a friend who's a widow, and she's got all the financial things she needs. She doesn't like to cook, and I like to cook when I have free time. It's a good stress reliever. So I kind of stored up a little extra soup whenever I would make it, and I gave it to her last year. It was all frozen in a box, but she was really grateful for that and something pretty easy that I could do.
All right. Then I want to give you all the opportunity, and I'm guessing maybe the answers will be somewhat similar, but what's that final blessing or wish for our fans and the community this season and into 2026? Dr. Ayoun?
I just wish people have a tremendous time with their family and friends and the opportunity to recharge and grow in their faith however they want to grow.
Very good. Rabbi?
I would say being kind to one another and knowing that words matter, especially around the holiday. Be nice. Reach out to someone who might not have others to celebrate the holidays with and invite them over. And know, again, words matter. One kind word could be the difference to someone's future.
Father Joe?
I think it would be, and I'm not good at this myself, but setting aside the smartphone on Christmas Day and just like being with people and spending time with them, because that attention is one of the greatest gifts you can give to somebody else.
Very good. I think the season always reminds us that the light shines through our differences and community begins when we choose to listen. And I appreciate all of you taking time to listen and connect and be a part of the upswing. And all the best. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. All the best into 2026.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
Is that coffee?
Time for a quick look at your coffee and how much it costs. It's the Upswing's Coffee Index.
Welcome back to the Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Where are you getting your morning coffee this festive season? Let's do the Upswing Coffee Index. Jaslyn, where are you today? Where are you stopping to get your coffee? Are you just at home brewing coffee and using your, like, gifts?
No,
no. Where are you? What are you drinking?
I usually like to go cross street to Canary Coffee, and I got to say, it's probably gotten more expensive because I just got a regular coffee, and it was $7.42. Well, and usually it's pretty upscale, but you know what?
$7 for, what, 16 ounce, 12 ounce?
12 ounce.
Wow, fancy.
But I can tell you something, though. I actually got a free latte over the weekend.
Ooh, nice. How'd you do that? Rewards points? Gift card?
No, I got you your Christmas present.
Oh, wow. Merry, merry. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. Oh, a little Stone Creek coffee. All right. I love it.
Regular and decaf, because I know we like to do half and half.
And it's the Cream City blend, so
exactly.
It's all about Milwaukee. I truly appreciate it.
Buy one of those, you get a free latte. So technically, I probably should have gotten two lattes, but I'll take the one.
All right. Wow. A gift for me and a gift for you, and it all comes together to support Cream City and a local brand. I appreciate it. As we talk gift cards, though, and coffee, I got some data on Starbucks gift cards. $60 million in sales just on Christmas Eve alone. And Starbucks gift cards, which maybe you got from Santa or in the stocking this year, responsible for $224.4 million in revenue last year. So big chance that the Starbucks gift card is under your tree. Or maybe you're going to give it to a friend or family member next week. Big, big money. One in five Americans received a Starbucks gift card this holiday season. Finally, you're probably watching a show or two this holiday break, streaming something. You got some time on your hands, off of work, not in school. My observation as I watch season two of The Man on the Inside with Ted Danson on Netflix is this. First, the first season was all about the future of healthcare, aging, relationships. And this season, the second season, is all about the future of higher education. Sure, this is a show about a retired teacher who is now a private detective. That's the plot. But it's way more than that. And that's why I really love it, because it's so in tune with what The Upswing is all about. Highly recommend you watch it. Why do I love second seasons of shows? Here's the deal. Two seasons of a show is absolutely perfect. It gives the creators and the producers, 15, 20 episodes a year to introduce the characters, to build those relationships, to land on a few unforgettable arcs without piling it on with a bunch of stuff that we're not going to care about when the series is done. You have time to fall in love with the characters, but not enough time to make it feel like, oh my gosh, this is a lot of work to take in. Two seasons of a show creates that emotional arc. Season one's discovery, season two is the payoff. One of my favorite shows of all time, Sports Night. You got to go back, find it on your favorite platform, but Sports Night will always exhibit this theory for me. Aaron Sorkin did this show. It was a behind-the-scenes look at late-night sports shows. It only lasted two seasons before ABC canceled it. And when it was canceled, a lot of people were really upset, sad. But you fast forward 15, 20 years, and you're like, wow, with a little distance, those two seasons felt totally perfect. The run was tight. It's still rewatchable. It's emotionally efficient. And there's no bloated storylines that make it cringeworthy today.
So when the lights go down and you're watching those shows, realize that two seasons feels absolutely perfect. So right now, the show I'm watching, The Man on the Inside on Netflix, it feels fresh and light on its feet because I know it's in the second season. And sure, I'm sure a third season is maybe in the works, but two seasons feels just about right. No matter what you watch, enjoy it. And next year, we're going to keep our eye, our community eye, on streaming prices for sure and the streaming wars. I think what's coming is Netflix versus YouTube. There's going to be some really interesting consumer content and business decisions from both these companies. How are podcasts going to play on both of these platforms? Netflix going into that space hard. But the podcasters and the content creators are going to maybe have to make that decision. Do you continue to monetize on YouTube? Or maybe, if you're a larger show, do you have that opportunity on Netflix? Do you go there? Speaking of content, you can get all your great content at WTMJ.com. All the shows you listen to on air, and even the ones that are just podcasts, are available on WTMJ.com or wherever you get your podcasts.